St. John 14, Jesus said in verse 21, "He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." There's about four I wills in this chapter of what Jesus said he would do. He cannot lie. I want to read that again. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you open our hearts and give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. I do pray this be a helpful and a blessing to you. I want to begin with this, what Jesus said, that he would manifest himself to us in proportion as we keep his commandments, and in proportion as we love him, will he manifest himself to us. That is not a new work of the kingdom of God. The Lord has been manifesting himself in the Old Testament, all the way through to those that keep his commandments and love him. He does come, and from that spiritual world, he breaks the barrier and comes into our world and shows himself in many hundreds of ways. But let's begin this morning. I want us to, for a moment, consider the life of King David. As I have been studying him quite deeply these last 5 or 6 months, and as you have heard me in the Sunday school class talk about how many enemies David had in his life. When I say enemies, I am not referring to the Philistines or the Ammonites or the Jebusites or the Canaanites and those that he warred against. I'm going to include those, but we're talking about the enemies David had on a personal level. And it begins in his own family. There is a reason why David, when Samuel came to anoint a king, why he was not picked among his brethren until the prophet finally had to say, "Don't you have any others?" "Oh, well, yeah, we have this little shepherd boy." And we can begin early in David's life to see that he was not thought of much, and they didn't really think he would amount to much of anything. From there, we see David, for further proof that his family was rather difficult and hard on him. I wouldn't put him in the category of being an enemy, but I would put him in the category of not having real love and respect for David. For when David was told by his father to bring some food to bring it to his brothers as they were encamped against the Philistines, and there was Goliath defying Israel, and when David showed up bringing the food under the instruction of his father, David asked the question, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And it was there that the word was told his brothers. And David said that out of sincerity. David was not being haughty or braggadocious. He just felt that his God was greater than this man defying him. And his brothers put motives in David that were not there. And they said, "We know the naughtiness of your heart, David." And so I only use that as further evidence to show that David did not have a family that we see from the evidence of Scripture that they really were respectful of him. From there, we find that David is now drafted because of his great skill to play the harp. And David is playing for the king. And as an evil spirit would come upon Saul, David would play the harp. And there we begin to find that Saul would take a spear and threw it at David to try to kill him. And so the saga begins. I've brought out that I researched and found there were at least 9 times that Saul literally tried to kill David. And we find that Saul took 3,000 men and hunted him like a wild animal. And during a 15-year period, David is going through these difficult times. From Saul, we go to now David is king, and Saul is killed. But then we find there is that general Joab, who was very unfaithful and disloyal to David, and never really got behind David, and David had to keep his eye on him. And then there was Ahithophel, the great counselor for David, but when Absalom, David's son, tried to steal the kingdom from David, Ahithophel fled from David and joined Absalom, and there we have Ahithophel, a counselor that David had relied on, has now forsaken him. We go from him to Michal, Saul's daughter, who despised David, dancing before the Lord, and despised him in her heart. And we find that the marriage was not on solid ground in that sense. From his own children turning against David, and I am not trying to stick up for everything David did. I'm only wanting to paint a picture of the many enemies that David had personally. It went from there to Mephibosheth, and who David had helped restore, here Jonathan's son. And yet when David is fleeing the throne, and on his way out, he meets Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth. And David wonders why Mephibosheth is not there. And he says, and he misrepresented Mephibosheth. But he did say, David, he's trying to do his own thing. And he thinks he might have a shot at the kingdom or other greatness in his life. And David, I'm sure, is hurt and grieved over the betrayal of Mephibosheth, though it was not true. But David did not know that. And we can go, and I have 4 other enemies, but for the sake of time, I want you to begin to get an understanding of King David, that he had enemies without and within. And now when you begin to read the book of Psalms, you will have perhaps a better understanding, because in the book of Psalms, David mentions enemies over 100 times. There are other words that are synonymous with enemies that I have not listed. But when you read Psalms, you will see repeatedly over and over and over and over again, David referring to his enemies. In these Psalms, David is reaching out up to the Lord and he's asking for help. He's asking for God to keep him and protect him. And but there is one other enemy that perhaps is the greatest of all enemies that David had, and that was the devil himself. And do you know that Satan is only mentioned 4 times in the Old Testament? But one of them is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1. And we read that, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, 'Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it.' And Joab answered, 'The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?'" Well, Joab had a few good ideas, and he's saying, David, you must not do this. And the reason it was such a terrible thing in the eyes of the Lord is because David was looking to the arm of the flesh. He was looking to number them, to find his strength in numbers. And besides that, anytime you numbered Israel, you were supposed to pay a silver apiece. And we don't read that David did that. But be that as it may, it was the devil himself. One place says God did, another place the devil, but God allowed the devil to come and to tempt David. And so I want to include within David's enemies the devil. And it was for these reasons, all of the enemies of David, you would find in Psalms over and over David going to the Lord. And he mentions these enemies in Psalms, and he's looking to the Lord for comfort. And but I want you to realize that, in fact, there was one time, not only enemies that I've mentioned, but after the ninth time when Saul tried to kill David, David just felt there's no use. I am going to perish one day by the hand of Saul. And so David joins the Philistines. And as he joins them, though he did not consult the high priest, and he should have, but he made a terrible mistake, and he's with the Philistines, and he's out fighting enemies. He's not fighting Israel yet, but this particular leader that David joined up allowed David and his 400 or 600 men and his wife and their wives and their children and all of the men's wives and children, they stayed in a place called Ziklag. And while they were in Ziklag, David went out to battle. And when he came back, he found that another enemy had come and had burnt down the town Ziklag, had stolen David's and the men's wives and their children, and they wept. And David wept as all of his family has been taken. And all of the men that were with David, their wives and their children were taken. And they were so downhearted. And we read those famous words where it said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And the reason it was so necessary for David to encourage himself with the Lord is because that his brethren, those men, they spake of stoning David as though it was David's fault. Now, one could argue he should have never went to Ziklag, but surely you cannot blame these people and family and loved ones his for being kidnapped upon David. But so they're add to the list. Everybody's against David, and they spake of stoning him. Fortunately, David did seek the high priest. Shall I pursue after my enemy? And the Urim and Thummim said yes, and David pursued after the enemy, and they rescued their wives and their children and brought them back. So keep that in mind when you read Psalms and now when you read about David and his enemies. But now I want to go back to our verse that we read for our text, because we're going to talk about the Lord manifesting himself. For Jesus said before he went away he would send the Holy Spirit, but he said these words, "He that keepeth my commandments and loveth me, to him I will manifest myself." Something from that world will penetrate the barrier of this world and into your life. You will have something that you will know it is God. And that can happen in many, many ways. It happened in the Old Testament when there is Abraham and he sees the three strangers. That's a manifestation from God coming to Abraham. Charlie ministered on that Sunday night and brought out wonderful truths of there was three. And then he came to Lot with two. And we find God came from that world to this world. We find a manifestation in the book of Daniel where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the fiery furnace. And a manifestation took place. They're all different. But there the king saw not three but four, one likened as unto the Son of God himself. And There was a manifestation. There were manifestations when Daniel had a dream from God. There were manifestations when prophets heard from the Lord and would say, "Thus saith the Lord." Manifestations come in many ways. I was just reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he was speaking of a minister by the name of Trent, and how this minister went for a walk before he was to preach. He had been gone on this walk when he felt an overwhelming sense of God come upon him. He felt such a overpowering sense that he was lost in the Spirit for an hour. And finally, when he came to and went back to the place where they were waiting for the minister to show up, and he talked about, he saw things that it only happened one time in his life, but God manifested himself to him. I never had anything like that happen. I was late to church one time in the Northwest. I was preaching a camp meeting, and before church I took a walk. And on the way back there was a great big Saint Bernard that barked at me and treed me, went after me, and I ran up a tree and waited in this tree a good half hour. Well, I could hear the camp meeting 6 blocks away singing Power in the Blood and everything else, and I'm saying, "Lord, I could use some of that power right now," as that Saint Bernard sat underneath the tree gnarling at me and barking at me, and I kept saying, "Go away, go away." He finally left, but I could not say when I came back, I had this overwhelming manifestation. All I could say was, "A dog treat me." Now I want you to see that this promise, and that has been the nature and the character of God to always come. As Jesus said, "He that keepeth my commandments and loveth me, I will come and manifest myself unto him." This is not a new ministry. Now I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 6. I want you to see David as he in these Psalms is reaching out to the Lord. And through his life he writes these Psalms. And I want you to understand, as David is writing these Psalms, he is often speaking of his own personal experience of what he's going through in his life. And we know what he's going through. He is going through many attacks from different enemies. And in Psalms chapter 6, let's just take a look, for I want you to see that many a time David is talking about his own experience when all of a sudden his thoughts changed and he experienced a manifestation of thoughts. He began to prophesy, and what he prophesied was a messianic promise of the Savior coming and things about the Savior when he would come. And it was as though when you read that David, did this happen to you? Because you were just talking about things that were happening to you. You were just talking about things that you were feeling and your fears, and you were reaching out to God. And all of a sudden you speak of an experience that, is that you, David? And I want you to see this happens over and over and over again of a manifestation of thought. In Psalms chapter 6, I want you to look at verse 3. He says, "My soul is sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long?" And you could just see David is hurting. "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake." Save him from what? From all these enemies David has. "For in death there is no remembrance of thee." In other words, "Lord, if you kill me, I won't be able to remember you. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary. I'm tired of hearing myself complain continually to you, Lord, about my things going on in my life. I'm weary with my groanings all the night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed because of my grief. It waxed old because of all my enemies." And now notice these words. "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." Do you know that as David is contemplating his own enemies, all of a sudden a thought from the throne room of God itself is being transferred and manifested into the mind and the heart of David. And David says something that was a prophetic utterance of Jesus that would come, of something that Jesus himself would say. Notice David said, Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Is David talking about his own enemies? David may think so, but my friend, I want you to know that David is having an anointing coming on him that is causing him to go from this natural world into another spiritual world, and the thought that he is experiencing right then is a thought from the Holy Spirit itself prophesying of what Jesus would do when he came. Please turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 7 verse 23. For those words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, they are words that Jesus spoke himself, and these are none other than the words that David, under the anointing, is speaking about Christ. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. Look at these words that Jesus said. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. David is speaking the words that Jesus himself would say. We know of many other things David said that Jesus would say. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 8 and verse 2. I want you to see this happens again and again in the Psalms as David is thinking of his own problems. And yet, he moved right in to having a thought manifested from the throne room. And David prophesies in Psalms chapter 8. Notice what David says. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. David, are you talking about you? What are you talking about? I don't even know if David often knew that he was prophesying of a Savior. I believe at times he did, but at times I'm not so sure David knew that he was prophesying something of the coming of the Lord in his lifetime. Because those words, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Please turn to Matthew chapter 21. And here we find these are the words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 21. And verse 14 through 16. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read? And he's quoting David, who is quoting what happened. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Now I want you to go back to Psalms chapter 16. Time does not permit me to show the over 20 times David speaks of a messianic thing, the Lord coming. But you would think when you read it and David is thinking about his own life and his own problems, his own enemies. And there is his thinking. It's as though God just moved into the thought structure of David and gave him a thought, a manifested thought of the coming of the Lord. Again in Psalms chapter 16. And take a look at verse 8. In fact, before we get to verse 8, here again, let's look at David speaking of his own life. Verse 1, preserve me, O God. For in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not unto thee. But to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. And he goes on and he talks and then he says that in verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. God, you're going to keep me where I'm at. And the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is my right hand. And David said, I'm not going to be moved. And are we, well, David, are you talking about the time when Absalom, your son, is trying to remove you from your throne, and you're giving testimony that is saying, I'm not going to be moved. God's going to keep me in this position. And he's thinking along these lines, and therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices my flesh. Also shalt thou rest in hope. And now verse 10, he moves into a prophetic utterance of Christ. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither will David. Are you talking about dying? You were just talking about you're not going to be moved, but now you're talking about he's not going to leave your soul in hell. How many know David is getting a thought from the throne room that is speaking about Christ coming? And we know this is true, for these words are fulfilled in the Psalms themselves. That is where Jesus, he will not leave him in the grave the 3 days and the 3 nights. In fact, one time David is speaking of his enemy. Turn to Psalms chapter 69. In fact, David is speaking of his enemies, and he in that process, he moves right in and gives a prophecy about Judas. David didn't know Judas. David knew his enemies. And twice in the Psalms, there is a prophecy about Judas. And David gave both of them. But in Psalms chapter 69, verses 1 through 4. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fall while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. David felt, man, I got more enemies. They would destroy me. Being my enemies wrongfully are mighty, then I restored that which I took not away. And David is speaking of his own life. And then I want you to take a look at verse 21 of that chapter. And David, now, as he's talking of his problems, notice a thought from heaven again comes in to the mind of David in verse 21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. David, did that happen to you? They gave you vinegar to drink? Well, David, I remember in your life when one time you said, oh, you desired from the water from the certain wells, and your mighty men ran all night and they got some of the water and they brought it back to you and said, here, David, and you felt guilty and you threw it on the floor. Is that what you're talking about? No. Well, David, who are you talking about? David is having a thought from heaven come into his own thought, and he is prophesying of something that would happen in the life of Jesus. How many remember when he was on the cross? And that happened then. It was fulfilled. Please turn to Psalms 109. You see this again and again. David is thinking about himself, and rightfully so, and going to the Lord for his comfort and strength. And then a thought would come. And he's talking about Jesus. In Psalms 109 and verse 6, now David is again, and then he says, set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. That's a prophecy about Judas. For what Judas did in betraying the Lord, it is a prayer. Judas, for what you did. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. That's found in the book of Acts, where Peter said, it is written in the Psalms, because Judas had Iscariot had committed suicide, that Peter stood as they were praying and said, let's find another one, and he quotes this passage. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that over and over again, David is praying. And there in his prayer, I call it, and I think biblically so, a manifested thought came and he's under the anointing and speaking of Christ. That happens to you and it happens to me. And may this help us to understand. That happened to the life of Simon Peter. Do you remember when Jesus said to Peter, I believe it's in Matthew 15, somewhere in that vicinity. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, who do men say that I am? Peter in his own natural mind says, well, some say this and some say that. And then Jesus said, but Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know what just happened? A manifested thought came and injected into the mind of Peter, because Jesus wanted Peter to know, Peter, you did not come up with that thought just then on your own. My Father gave it to you, for he said to him, blessed art thou, Barjona. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Well, who did? But my Father, which art in heaven. Really? I just had an anointed thought from God? Yes, he just manifested himself into your mind, and what you spoke didn't come from you. It came from the throne room of God, from my Father. I want you to know that when you pray, somebody said, well, if God would talk to me, wouldn't I know it? He's talking to you, but you may not know it. He is talking to you. Many a time may I express that when I'm praying, and oh, like David, I'm going over my problems. I'm not saying I'm moving into a prophetic of a messianic promise, but many times when I'm praying, oh, as I'm praying, and that's why we're to pray in the Spirit, there will come a thought into my own prayer life that will say, trust in God, believe God, trust His Word. That is a manifested thought from heaven, as Jesus said, in proportion as you keep His commandments and love Him, will He manifest Himself unto you. And do you know that you also are experiencing manifested thoughts? Well, I think if it happened, I'd know it. Not necessarily. But I want you to be more sensitive to your thought life, because many times, because I don't believe that Jesus lies. And when he says, he that keepeth my commandments and loveth me, to him will I manifest myself. I'm not mentioning all the ways he manifests, but one perhaps of the most numerous ways he manifests is into our thoughts and into our thinking. And may we recognize it. You say, well, if it happened, I'd know it. No. Just in John 14, a little chapter at the beginning, Philip said to Jesus, Jesus, would you show us the Father? And Jesus said, I have been showing you the Father. For over 3 years I've been showing you the Father. But just because you don't recognize me showing you the Father does not mean I haven't been doing my job to show you the Father. And as much as that can be true, that to Philip, it would suffice us, it would satisfy us if you'd show us the Father. You're always talking about him. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I have been revealing the Father to you, but because you're not aware of it, it has not removed that God has not done his job and kept his word and has shown it. And I say that to you and to me, when he said, he that keepeth my word and loveth me, to him will I manifest myself. And he does it often by our thoughts. And though you don't recognize some of those thoughts as coming from the Lord, I pray that from today forward, you will begin to notice some of your thoughts are from God. And he has been talking to you. And he has been showing us. Oh, God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. I mentioned earlier that in Roseburg, I was talking to Brother Bill Sanders. And Brother Bill Sanders said, we've contacted every pastor, and not one pastor knows of any of his young people being killed. But we do know there was a pastor's daughter. And a pastor's daughter was in this creative writing class when this man held a gun to her back and she felt it. And for some unknown reason, he moved over. I believe God put a thought to move over. This thing is very slippery. It can go both ways. As much as I'm telling you, you have thoughts that come from God that are manifested. You also can have thoughts from the devil that come to you. As much as the devil spoke to David to number Israel, it didn't say some big body showed up. It didn't go into detail. But the devil, that's why you say, well, in fact, when Jesus said to Peter to show this thing that can go on in our mind, and that's why we need to put on the helmet of salvation and think on these things and bring every thought into captivity. Because here is Peter right after he had the thought that came from the Father himself, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal it unto thee, but my Father." And I bet Peter thought, wow, I just had an anointed thought. And then the very next few verses, Jesus began to speak of his suffering and his decease and how he must go to the cross. And Peter began to rebuke him. And that same mind that had a thought from heaven that he didn't realize was from heaven, and Jesus wanted him to know that came from heaven, Peter began to rebuke him. And what did Jesus say? "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the thing." And all of a sudden now we see Peter has a thought from God and maybe didn't recognize it. And now he has a thought from the devil. Do you know that is a picture of us often? Some of your thoughts, they come from God. I'm not saying all of them, but some of them. And may we have wisdom with understanding of the Word of God to recognize that. You say, "I want God to talk to me." He has been talking to you. I pray now with an understanding you'll begin to see this. And as sure as, how many know sometimes when the devil's talking to you? Sometimes you can get on a mad and get in the flesh, and the devil wants to work the flesh, and you can go, and maybe nobody will be around you to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Listen, this here is a breeding ground for anointed thoughts from the Father that he manifests himself, but it's also thoughts that can be a place where the devil speaks. And that's why he says that we're not to be ignorant of his devices. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil. When those thoughts come to you that say things like, I don't think he's going to see me through. That's from the devil. Those thoughts that come to you say, "Oh, I don't feel like going to church. I don't think I need church. What's the big deal about church?" That's the devil. Those thoughts that want to do you like the devil did and tempted David to number Israel, to rely on the arm of the flesh rather than the arm of the Lord. And sometimes when we get to feeling, you know, we're pretty good and this and that, and I don't need to put up with this and put up with that. I need to put up with everything that God has in his word, whether I like it or not. And that is something that I pray will recognize the devil when he's even trying to tear us down. And to think thoughts we ought not. Bill's drummer was on his way to class. To the Umpqua College. And he just pulled into the parking lot on that day when he felt the Lord speak to him to go to the library. He thought, "Well, why do I got to go to the library?" But he felt that the Lord was in it. It didn't make sense to him. And often it doesn't. And I'm not trying to say be gullible of every thought that you have. I'm just saying that he does talk to us in our thoughts. And oh, if we're children of God, if in him we live and move and have our being, and he does reside in us, I am here to tell you that he has been talking to you more than you're aware of. And he went to the library. 2 minutes later, the shooting took place. Had he gone to the classroom, he would have been shot. And they are hearing report after report. I'm not saying I have all the answer for that, and nobody claims to do it. But oh, how we find that God was working in this, and oh, this. And so that is why we should be praying in the Spirit. That is why often when I pray, sometimes when I don't know how to pray, I pray in the... Do you know what praying in the Spirit is? That means you're praying with thoughts that came from heaven into you. My understanding can be wrong. My will can be wrong. My wisdom can be wrong. But oh, when I begin to pray in my heavenly language, or when I begin to cry out to the Lord, it is Him taking and piloting my prayers where they need to go. And I utter the deep things and the secret things of God. And I'm dealing with mysteries that even I don't know in the natural and the understanding. But I am speaking by the anointing of God, and He is manifesting Himself into me. And when you pray yourself, such as David, and you're dealing with your own life, and oh, in the mind, and that is the arena where God's Holy Spirit could come and talk to you. He's been talking to you while I've been preaching. He's been talking to you during the day. He talks to you during the week. I want you to rejoice and be glad He talks to you. And it's not that He doesn't. He does. And I close, in proportion as you keep His commandment and love Him, I will manifest myself. How many know obedience is necessary to God and to keep His commandments? Smile at me. God's not talking to me right now. I need you to talk to me. You're with me. You love me. You're there. Would you stand? I hope this will help you. I hope this will make you think. I hope that you'll be very sensitive to your thoughts and to your words. The Holy Spirit in every born-again child of God is in you. And I believe with all my heart that He is talking. May I turn my eyes upon Jesus, look full His wonderful face. May I realize with the wisdom that He gave to Philip, Philip, I have been showing you the Father. You haven't been paying attention. Oh, Dennis Chester Connor, God has been talking to you. May you pay attention. Let me say, as much as God talks to us, the devil can talk. And I know the media is going to try to dissect this, and they're going to end up saying this guy was mentally deranged and this and that, and that's another story for a day. But I want you to know that it was nothing more, not nothing more, but it was the devil that came to him. That was the devil that came to this young man and said, take a gun and go into that classroom and kill people. That was the devil. And the devil is still working today. And with us as children of God, may I recognize God's thoughts. And may I recognize the devil's thoughts. And when those temptations come, and they do, I need discernment on one just as much as the other. May I say to the devil, get thee behind me. May I submit myself therefore unto God. You try to do it without submitting in your own strength, you won't be able to. You'll hear Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? But when you submit yourselves therefore unto God, then you have power to resist the devil. Oh, he is there. The enemy is there to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. I've been hearing it. Maybe you haven't been hearing it, Peter. But you need to know it from me. I'm telling you, he's desiring to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. Hallelujah. I've tried to give you a biblical theology on how God talked to Peter and how God talked to David. And he's still talking to us. Would you come? I want us to pray for our church. I want us to pray, God, help us to unite our heart and our faith one for another. Oh, may we not be ignorant of His devices. May I not be ignorant, as Revelation says to the seven churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And oh, may I also on this day, may I hear what the Spirit says. Yes, he'll talk to me through the Word. Yes, he'll talk to me, but he'll talk what I call is a manifested thought. Now, God, give me wisdom. Oh, may I be sensitive. Lift your hands up. Let's just begin to love Jesus for his goodness and his love. Oh, Lord, you bought me with your blood. You washed me. You sanctified me. You set me apart. Lord, I'm yours. I am thine, and you are mine. You said, our Father, your Father. He's my Father. He's my God. He's your God. And Lord, you love me. And Lord, you're in me. And oh God, may I be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that you have placed in my own life. God, raise up people that know thy voice and know thy name, and though they that know thy name will do great exploits. Oh God, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh God, may I recognize thy voice and may I walk accordingly. May I have wisdom to have you vindicate these things. But as David as old had thoughts of the Messiah, you likewise work into us. Oh, give thoughts of comfort to people when they're distressed. May they look to you, and as you comfort them, as you minister to them, hallelujah, may I recognize it. May I walk in the Spirit. May I recognize the Spirit. Oh, let faith rise up in me. For faith cometh by hearing. And Lord, it comes by hearing the Word, and it comes by hearing the manifested thoughts. Oh, give us a word. Oh, Lord, you have been giving us a word. May we recognize it. Oh, we love you. We love you. We love you, Lord. Bless your people in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Jim Haynes, would you close in prayer, please? God bless you. Jesus, Jesus.